This is the Microsoft Libraries and Museums Podcast, a show dedicated to exploring digital transformation with organizations from around the world. I'm Emily Kotecki. In season three, we are talking about how museums and libraries are leveraging mixed reality to inspire awe and wonder, magic and creativity in visitors. Today, we are expanding how we cultivate that awe and wonder in visitors by talking about audio guides. I'm joined by two guests. Jeff Danziger is the North America Sales Director from GuideID. GuideID is an audio guide company based in the Netherlands. And Mark Berlin is the Director of Operations at the USS Midway Museum in San Diego, California. Thank you both for being here.
Thanks for having us.
Yeah, thanks for having us.
Jeff, I want to start with you. Along with labels and docent tours, in my mind, audio guides must be like in the top three ways that visitors expect to interact with museum content. When we think about the last 2 years of the pandemic, what do you feel like has stayed the same for audio guides, and what has changed when you look across the field?
So, you know, we at GuideID, we provide, you know, audio guides to museums, all sorts of museums and historic sites around the world. As you mentioned, we're a Dutch company. We're based in the Netherlands. And so we've really been able to get a lot of insight of what's happening. When COVID hit, we were concerned. You know, a major part of our business is hardware, you know, actual audio guides that you hand to a visitor. So when COVID first happened, we're like, oh no, is nobody ever going to want to touch an audio guide anymore? That was a real legitimate concern. So we immediately started doing a few things. First off, we always, or for many years, have had an app in conjunction with our audio guides. But in previous years, it wasn't used much at all. And so when COVID hit, we're like, okay, let's kind of get a better bring your own device solution. So we immediately came up with a mobile website, which is actually very quick and intuitive and works really well. Later on, we introduced a native app, which replicates our hardware, simple point and listen technology, but in this case with someone's phone. But an interesting thing happened as we moved along with the pandemic and once the museum started to reopen. The museums that were actually still providing hardware and mobile solutions, we were finding that the visitor behavior really had not changed that much in relations to hardware. We were finding that for sites that were actually distributing both a bring your own device solution and a piece of hardware, our Podcatcher, which is our signature device, more than 90% of the visitors were still choosing the hardware, which was a real surprise. And I'm sure Mark will talk a little bit about that as well, their experience on the Midway. So that's kind of was the real pleasant surprise in our case, in that, you know, audio guides really appear to be very resilient.
Why do you think that is, that visitors are picking the device over using their own? And one of the reasons I ask is because across, especially this particular season, we've heard a lot of interviews from like the Peterson Automotive Museum, the National Theater in London, saying we're actually wanting people to use their own device, and that's where people are accessing this information. But your experience is almost the complete opposite. So why do you think that they are wanting that other device and not using their device?
You know, I think it depends on the situation. I think if a site really, they don't want to deal with hardware and they only want people to use their phones and they promote the heck out of it, maybe they can have some success. I was just recently looking actually at some of our data. We capture a lot of data on what our clients are doing. And it was interesting to me, this happened to be the Holocaust Museum in Houston. I was just in Houston a few weeks ago as well. And during the pandemic or the height of the pandemic, they were just offering a mobile website. And then about 6 months ago, they shifted back to the hardware. So when COVID hit, originally they had the hardware, they stopped distributing the hardware, they went just to the mobile website. 6 months ago or so, they went, they shift gears again. So they went from the mobile website to the hardware. The interesting thing that I saw there is the numbers skyrocketed as soon as they went to the hardware. So even if a site is offering a mobile solution and pushing it, and maybe some visitors will do it. When they have a choice of the simplicity of a pointless device versus actually downloading or streaming or being distracted and looking at your phone, they keep choosing that simplicity. It's really, I mean, that's the biggest factor, I think, about this is there's a natural barrier when it comes to using your own device. You know, everyone says, oh, well, everyone's got one in their pocket. But in a museum and historic site space, many times it's a distraction. And so you're no longer looking at the object in front of you. You're now looking up and down at your phone. And I think that's a real roadblock. So that's one roadblock. The second roadblock, especially for apps, if you have to go to the App Store and download an app, or you have to go to Google Play and download an app. Also, some of the challenges with apps, we tried to avoid this in our case, but many apps have all these bells and whistles. So they'll have, you know, images and videos and directions and maps and, you know, just trying to imagine looking at a little map on your phone to get around a space. It just doesn't work. You know, it's just not something that visitors want. They really, the more you put into there, the more they're going to tune out. So I think the biggest factor of all of this is simplicity of delivery. And that's where the hardware really shines.
Mark, I want to bring you in. The USS Midway Museum is one of the largest aircraft carriers commissioned by the US Navy. It became a museum in 2004. What is the history of the USS Midway with audio guides as an interpretive tool or way of visitor engagement?
Sure. Well, from day one, we've offered a universal audio tour and so that everybody that buys a ticket or comes on board can get the audio tour. We don't sell it as a separate add-on. It's just included with your visit. And it was an important piece right away to tell the stories we wanted to tell about the men that served on the Midway. It was only men, unfortunately, that was the period. These first person narratives that we felt were so compelling. So it became the main way that we delivered our content. I kid that we have the mother of all audio tours. We have over 60 stops. We have a lot of content. We expanded over the years to different languages as our foreign visitation grew. But we had the experience where we made a decision where we ran out of enough memory on those smaller players for our new languages. We decided we would go to an interactive audio guide with a screen, with all the bells and whistles that Jeff mentioned earlier, with the quizzes and the videos. And we were pretty excited about it. We spent a year working with our supplier at that time, which was in Guide ID. And my boss, retired three-star admiral, was a little skeptical. And we kept telling him, oh, you don't understand. This is what people want these days. They want all this interactivity. And we launched it, and within a week, we realized we made a mistake. Suddenly, nobody was taking the players. People were just looking at them, handing them back to us. And, you know, there were a lot of issues with just trying to figure out how to use them. And we tried to work through all those. But within a month, we actually literally ditched the whole thing and went back to the keypad, a different keypad player. It was, I'm happy still to be here after that mistake, to tell you the truth. But we made the switch back and then over the years, I kept thinking it still could be even simpler. You know, the numbers were a problem keeping track of, and, we were kind of always looking for something that would make it even easier for our guests. And we want, as Jeff had mentioned, we want a heads up experience when people come on board the ship. There is a lot to see and take in when you're on board. Most people have never been aboard a Navy ship, let alone an aircraft carrier. So they're overwhelmed by just the environment itself. You talk about virtual reality. It is, the whole ship is one big AR virtual reality experience. It's things you've never experienced in your life. And we don't want them buried in a phone or in a device that requires a lot of their attention. We want their attention to be outward. So I had known Jeff over the years, and I remember one day he called me up and said, hey, I'm with this new company, And can I send you some stuff? I'm like, yeah, okay, whatever. But thinking it was just the same old, same old. And he sent me a little box, and I don't forget, it was a really cute little box, and with a guide ID, the podcatcher, and it came out of the box, and it was like the Holy Grail to me. And I've been involved in audio tours for years and years, and I took it up my boss, and I laid it on his desk. He goes, "What's this?" I was like, "This is an audio place. Are you kidding me?" And we just, you know, we just freaked out, and we were, and then we moved forward, and obviously became a guide ID site. And people love the simplicity. They think it's high tech, and it's low tech, really. And they love just being able to point, shoot, and hold it up to the air and listen to our great stories, because it's all about the stories. It's not about the hardware. It's about the emotion we put behind those stories. It's about the way we make people feel and connect with them. During COVID, we had the same concerns, like, oh my goodness, what are we going to do? We have hundreds of these players. Is anybody going to want to take them? How do we make sure we sanitize them so that people feel comfortable taking them, which was a big challenge. And so we created new signage that had a QR code to take you straight to the mobile solution that Guide ID provided, which is very easy. You didn't have to download an app. And we thought for sure most people would do that. And we actually really tried to push it. And because we had both, again, as Jeff said, well over 90% of the people decided to take the hardware versus the do it on their phone, which we still offer. We still offer that mobile solution. And people use their phone all the time for everything, right? I mean, you're always on your phone. I might get on my phone during this podcast, frankly. Because that's how we could be out there. And I think
at least we're all honest. That's good.
Yeah. I mean, I think people just kind of are happy to have that little break.
I'm biased because this is a podcast, so I believe in the power of audio storytelling and audio to engage visitors. But I wonder, from your perspective, what is it about audio that is compelling for storytelling? We think about tech as enabling something that you otherwise couldn't do. So what do you feel like the audio piece does for you and your visitors?
I think, and again, we spent a lot of time, you know, thinking about, you know, what audio shouldn't do, and it shouldn't tell facts necessarily. It shouldn't, you know, if I can put it on a sign, then I don't need it on my audio tour. It should evoke emotion. And people have short attention spans. They just do. So it really shouldn't be a long drawn out piece. So we keep them very hard, quick and hard hitting. But it's that engagement, that voice in your ear. It's just this really simple, but almost intimate connection with you know, the stories that are abound here of you know, true heroes that served aboard the Midway.
Where does the audio tour and that content sit maybe in the broader spectrum of how you engage digitally with your visitors?
Well, it's really, like I said, outside of our volunteer docents who, you know, we can have this ship without our volunteers, and our docents are amazing. And our guests love to actually meet some of these men and women now that tell them the stories. That's a real treat for us. But it's really the number one way otherwise that we deliver our messaging and our content. You know, not that we don't have exhibits, not that we don't have interactive exhibits, because we do have them around. And I think I know this is a series about AR and VR, and we are very interested in finding ways to use AR and VR in different formats to help bring parts of the ship to life that otherwise, they're not active anymore. The engine rooms, the flight deck, you know, how can we use those things without, you know, so we're kind of waiting for it to evolve to where, you know, I don't have to put a pair of glasses on. I don't have to load anything on my phone. Like, how can we, use those types of technologies to bring things to life? But our audio tour, and even online, you can go online and listen to clips on it, is the main way that we deliver our content.
Jeff, I wonder, back to you, thinking about these different experiences that are, I'm trying to think of the words, they're very flashy, they're very trendy, but they're also very important to enhancing that visitor experience, the idea that Mark just mentioned of AR and VR. Do you feel like audio guides are competing with those experiences? Do you feel like that they are just distinguished differently from them in terms of what that visitor experience is like? Like, how do you think about audio guides sitting in or against mixed reality type of experiences?
So they're definitely different animals. And you think about the audiences that come to these various sites, you've got a range of people, of ages. And so different people like to engage in different ways too, right? Some people prefer to read text. Some people prefer to listen to audio. Some people prefer the latest and greatest cool AR or VR. So really, you know, the way I look at it is, you know, all of these different methods really help a variety of your visitors in whichever way appeals to them the most. I do think that some of the AR and VR options can be super cool, but they can be limiting because it could be really expensive equipment that you have on. It could be really time consuming if you're wearing like VR glasses and stuff like that. Or maybe you can't have a whole fleet. Like maybe you wouldn't have 2,000 of these things, right? You might have 10 of them, right? So there's only a small percentage of your visitors that would actually be able to do this. Whereas something like an audio guide can be more universal. And especially for translations and languages and all that stuff, which is, you know, we see a ton of, and especially, you know, since we are a company based in Europe, translations in Europe and are obviously a very big deal. And so just for access, you know, it's a lot more universal. So, I mean, there's obviously lots of opinions and lots of thoughts on it. I do think a lot of it is really cool and interesting, but, you know, it just depends on, you know, the audience and you know, who your visitors are. And it's nice to have a variety of options for them.
In thinking ahead, it sounds like there was over the pandemic, this exploration of, you know, you had the hardware devices, you went thinking about mobile and those options for visitors. The data is showing that people like the simplicity of a device, someone else's device, it's all right there for them. What is the future, do you feel like, look like for you, Mark and or Jeff, to answer this question? Moving forward, are you going to put more of your eggs in the device basket? Are you going to focus more? Are you going to try to still offer a hybrid version?
So one of the things, I do think that the mobile website where you scan a QR code is definitely a step in the right direction when it comes to people using their own devices. I do think that native apps where you have to go to the app store has always been a stumbling block and will continue to be a stumbling block. So I do think that the more that you can do that quick upload is a real positive. And once again, that does come down to, you know, just trying to remove barriers, right? So so the faster that is, the quicker that is, I think is a good thing. So, you know, there's certainly a percentage of the population, you know, that will gravitate towards that. Having said that, that still does not take away the distraction factor. And that's the other thing that it's, you know, it's hard to really think about what the future or how we get around that. Because if we really think about looking at an object and listening to a story, you really want to avoid looking down at the phone for any reason. So the more you can kind of avoid that, I think is, you know, a positive direction.
Yeah, and I think it's, you know, about looking at those technologies, you know, not getting caught up like, oh, we have to have that because a board member saw an article on, you know, something about, and why aren't we doing that? And it's listening to your and observing your visitors and what they're engaging in. I do believe that, you know, in a space like ours, which, you know, I've been on an active carrier and a carrier that's, you know, fully active, it's an amazing place. And we're not an active carrier anymore. And we're interested in finding ways to bring physically bring things to life. And I think there are some answers there in the AR, VR world, and we're kind of exploring that very carefully. When it comes to delivering content, I think we have our answer.
This episode is airing at the very, very beginning of 2022. And so as we wrap up, I would like to ask each of you, what is your prediction for audio content in 2022?
I think the future is bright. You know, I think we've been through the worst of it, you know, and I think we've got nowhere to go but up. So I do think that, you know, things will be moving in the right direction. You know, I've been fortunate enough to travel around the country, as I mentioned earlier, and you can definitely see, you know, things are coming back. And, you know, obviously, you know, a large percentage of the population has been getting vaccinated and feeling more comfortable getting out and about. And yeah, I think the future is bright, actually. So I think we're going to come back strong. So I'm looking very much forward to 2022.
And well, we are too. We've had a better than expected 2021 as far as our visitation goes, and we expect that to continue to be an upward trend to 2022. I think people are hungry to get out and experience things again as they did before. I think as far as audio goes, people are looking for authenticity. People are looking for authentic voices. They're looking for you know, things that they can connect with and feel good about. I mean, it's been these last couple of years have been a hard, you know, not a lot of good news anywhere. And so I think as institutions, we can kind of help, you know, hopefully, you know, bridge a little of the gap that's there between people and how they're feeling and what's going on all around us and provide some meaningful experiences for people to get in a, you know, back in the swing of things. We're excited for 2022 as well.
Well, Mark Berlin and Jeff Danziger, thank you so much for joining me today.
Thanks for having us, Emily.
Yeah, thank you. Our pleasure.
At the end of every episode, we hear from Catherine Devine, Global Business Strategy Leader for Libraries and Museums at Microsoft. Catherine, thanks for joining us today.
Well, thanks so much, Mark and Jeff. And thank you, of course, Emily. I think the reason I really wanted to bring Guide ID and the USS Midway story here around audio guides into this podcast series was really to bring us back, maybe ground us again in technology does not always need to be the latest, does not always need to be the glitziest even, the most emerging, but rather it needs to solve the problem. And sometimes that problem can be very simple. And in this case, I think that Mark and Jeff really talk about some important points around how audio guides, being somewhat seen potentially as a traditional digital tool, really are something that some visitors for some segments still want. And yes, it can be done on phones, and I still think that in some circumstances that makes perfect sense. But in this particular case, it meets the needs of the organization to be able to get visitors to focus on exactly the story they want to tell. I think you're always challenged with distractions from everything else going on in your phone. So I think that this is key. And I think this also makes digital and tools more accessible to all museums. Sometimes I think it can become an all or nothing conversation, which is if I can't do the glitziest, latest, most emerging, expensive technology, I need to do nothing, right? So I think that's an important consideration. I really appreciate their perspectives here. So thank you very much for your time here. And I also want to just emphasize again that, you know, even audio guides are an augmentation of the experience and a very valid one and one that we should consider. Guide ID has been a great partner to Microsoft, with Microsoft, and we look forward to continuing to work with them. And I also want to, you know, use this opportunity to ensure that people really understand that Microsoft looks at all technologies, not just maybe what we might consider the most emerging. So thank you very much. I hope you enjoyed this episode, and we look forward to the next, Emily. Thank you.
Thank you, Catherine, and thank you again to Jeff and Mark. If you are interested in learning more about the USS Midway's audio guide program, we will include a link to that in the show description. We will also include a link to the full interview transcript. Until next time, I'm Emily Kotecki, and thank you for listening to the Microsoft Libraries and Museums podcast.